Did I ever tell you that was the real purpose of this podcast, was to determine what had souls and what would be in a salad? Hello and welcome to Headliners, the podcast where we scour the news for all the important bits and distill it down into quick, easy-to-consume conversation. No story is too big nor too small. My name is Nick Imbruglia, and I am joined, as always, by my fellow co-host, Gabby DeLuca, and my fellow resident expert, Lou Sabin. How are you both doing today?
Fair. Passing.
Fair. Passing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doing all right.
I am adequate. I feel like I am a 5.1 out of 10.
Ooh.
Well, above average.
I'm ready to shuck and or jive.
Whoa. Shucking and jiving? A little overachieving for someone who's middling.
I promise to shuck. I promise to shuck. Jive? We'll see if you guys deserve it or not.
Under promise, over deliver. That is Lou Sabin in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess a bit of a somber atmosphere here at Headliners. We have a bit of news to share about the podcast. Sad news, but also happy news in a way. As all creative endeavors go, there comes a time to sort of say goodbye and sunset and put them to rest. We've had a wonderful time here at Headliners this will be our 64th episode, so that's 64 weeks now. Yes, it is with great sadness that I announce that this is the second-to-last episode of Headliners. Okay. We're really setting us off.
Guys, stop. We're going to have to pay a copyright. We can't do that.
We made it 64 episodes before we got reamed out by Botticelli.
Yeah, Andrea Bocelli actually lost the rights to that song to me in a basement gambling tirade that we had together, so we're fine.
Okay, all right, good. That's right.
52 it's our... straight hours of blackjack, and well, he lost the rights to that song.
Yeah, well, that's what you get.
Well, you know what, guys? Yeah. I would actually like to make an announcement on today's podcast as well. And that is in direct contradiction to Nick's announcement. Mm-hmm. And that is that this podcast will not be ending. I will be doing Headliners by myself. I'll be doing all three parts. I will be playing Nick and Gabby and me. I promise to make Gabby as authentically annoying as she always is. And to portray Nick in the disgusting... dumb-faced manner that he should. Authenticity is what I'm aiming for.
So, Nick, this is a classic case of distancing. When he doesn't like something, he just pushes it away because he feels hurt. And that is that's what we're seeing here. In this
stunningly case. Apt, Gabby. Stunningly apt.
Well, we've sat down 64 weeks in a row and gotten to know each other. A couple of our various idiosyncrasies and, you might say, mental health issues may have come to light as we've talked. Yeah. But, you know, that's so... I'm glad Lou has mentioned that that is what he is moving on to. Because, like I said, this is sad news, but also happy news. Because we're all moving on to something bigger and better. I'd say Lou is, well, sort of maintaining and sitting right where he is. And,
I'm going to continue to circle the drain of life.
Yep. Gabby, what are you moving into, though?
Yeah, well, Nick, I'm glad you asked. I'm super excited to announce that I will be beginning a PhD track at Oxford University studying 15th century agrarian practices of women. And
lot to study, right?
Nope, that's where you're wrong, Lou.
Very small field.
It's one of the easier doctorates to get.
Yeah, it's four pages.
Considering how much you claim to know about shucking, I mean, there's a lot of shucking going on in the 15th
century. I'm going to have to move to jiving earlier than I thought.
So I'm moving to Oxford. My good friend, Megan, she recently married a Brit over there and had some kids. And so I just thought I'd see her, hang out with their family a little bit. There's a little, there's a few problems, you know, there's some inbreeding, but I'm gonna start a new life.
Put Oxford on the list. They're on the grudge list. We gotta get a couple more on there.
Oh, so starting a new life, essentially, running, distancing, distancing, I think was the words you used, from headliners. yes. Starting over, starting fresh.
Nick, I can't quite tell how much of that was a bit, because, I mean, she's studying women, but that's gotta be a bit. There's no way there's actually a track, but the rest of it, I'm not sure.
Blue. It'll catch up with you. It's going to catch up with you. All this karma, that's building up, my man. That's going to catch up with you. You're not going to be able to jive your way out of that.
Oh, well, fine. She's probably right, Nick.
Just going to be one hard shuck after another to get out of that one.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, I think we should, in honor of our last episode, mm-hmm. we should issue a challenge to people, to people who have listened to us and the people who have enjoyed us for so long. You know, we're talking about our Wallys and our Julias and our Jareds. We love you so much. We're going to issue a challenge to the listeners out there. And guess what? You can submit a question. You can ask us anything. And we got to answer it. Right, Gabby? I'm looking at you, Gabby. You've got to answer the questions they ask.
Mm. Luke, can I submit a question to Gabby?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yes. No.
I never get to ask her anything. We like whenever we record, like I'm like, hey, who wants to hang on after the pod? And like she's immediately gone.
Goodbye.
And she just cuts off. Yeah. And you know, she changes phone numbers pretty much immediately. And I can.
I have 15th century Agrarian tomes to read, guys. Like I can't just be yakking away on the Zoom.
But yeah, I think yes, we're gonna have a bit of a special episode next time for our last one. Mm-hmm. It won't quite follow the same format. We're not 100% sure what we're all going to do, but we do want listeners to write in and share maybe some of your favorite moments or, give us questions that we have to awkwardly answer or ignore because it's the last episode.
We're going to answer, Nick. And I think the two of you, you know what, I might get some of my super fans to target some questions to you. See how you like it. Get you to expose.
Well, listen, ask at your own peril. You know, if you want to find out what's going on up here, bring it on, bitch. I don't know. You just make sure you're prepared for it. That's just what I'm saying.
As we established, Lou is basically circling the drain. He's got nowhere to go. Gabby still has something that she's trying to preserve. She's moving off to Oxford and trying to preserve something. Me, I'm also up to new big things. No one asked me, but I'm going to share it. They're firing me off into space. I'm going right up into space. Yep. Straight into Mars.
That's amazing. What are you going to do there?
Well, there's no landing gear. They're just going to fire me straight into
the plane. Like with a catapult or something? Or
Yeah.
Nice.
I requested a fishbowl for my head, but that was...
All right.
I had to fight tooth and nail for that, but I got it. So
well,
I think
Nick,
got
it's
going to
be tough because if they fire you into space with only a fishbowl on your head, it might damage some of your pristine clothing. So just be careful.
Lou, don't think I haven't considered the risks in this, but I'm willing to make this sacrifice. And frankly, you know, I think headliners has a lot to thank for getting me to where I am now, being fired out of a catapult into the planet of Mars.
So, Nick, serious question.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to wear to your first date with Mars? This is like first impressions. Really matter. This is the first time meeting new planet, you know? It's
As the person who looks most like Mars, think about me. Like my face looks the most like Mars. I beat Gabby to that just so she couldn't do it. But yeah, I'm the red planet. I'm the red planet. Take your fishbowl off your head and woo me.
I'm thinking frills. I'm thinking velvet. So I have a nice sort of felty something with more. It's more I think about the texture than the color and style for you know when my body impacts so that Mars can feel on its that's kind of the plan is to we're gonna be impacting hard me and Lou's face. I mean me and Mars.
Yep. Hey, listen, work for me. I hope Mars feels the same.
Just imagine Nick walking into a bar and just launching himself into a crowd of women and being like, feel the frills, feel the velvet.
Yeah, I just got a bunch of Velcro on, like, stick to me. Yeah.
One day, you're going to find that special lady who's wearing an outfit entirely made out of hooks that Velcro sticks to.
Yeah, we'll be inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, just wanted to reiterate, we've had a ton of fun on Headliners. We hope to have a blast with our next episode and have something fun for everyone. And it's been truly a joy. And yeah.
Can I say my word now?
Yeah, you may.
This is the penultimate show. Penultimate, meaning the one before the last one. That's it.
So is that your word of the day? Because that's what we're moving into next.
Sure, let's make that the word of the day.
Yeah.
I had another one, but you know what? That just feels right.
Yeah, fuck that word. I want to yeet that thing using a catapult.
Oh, man.
Straight into Mars.
You are so with it, Nick. You are down with the lingo. Meanwhile, old man Lou is going with shucking and jiving.
You didn't have to do that at all, Gabby. You were already attacking Nick. You were hitting Nick with a you were hitting Nick with a hypothetical 2x4, and then you just turn around and hit me with it. I was just standing there twiddling my thumbs, taking my morning constitutional, minding my own business with my current phraseology.
I got two hands. I got two punches. You can't control the beast. All right, penultimate. It's an adjective. You know how it's spelled. It spells like it sounds. I'm not going to spell that.
Pee, I think.
Wow, two episodes left to go. She's really just sort of phoning it in, huh?
This is how my mom, whenever I ask my mom how to spell something, she goes, pen, ul, te, mit. And I'm like, that does not help the way you think it helps, Mom. But yeah, penultimate, the word pen, and then the word ultimate. It means next to the last, and or of or relating to the next to the last syllable of a word, a penultimate accent. So that's kind of more grammar. You don't need to know that. ooh, these examples are far too long. So we're going to just say this is the penultimate episode of the show.
Yay!
And the sound will be? Wah, wah, wah.
Wow, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like how we're leading into the sadness of this being the last episode.
And we're sad. We're sad.
It is sad. It is sad. It's an end of an era.
I'm sad about it. I'm a little mad about it, but mostly sad about it. And yeah, that concludes the penultimate word of the day.
That means you have to do it next time.
Maybe
that means you have to do it next time, huh? Yeah.
Sure.
Well, you've committed now. You can't make liars out of us now.
I'm going to have the last word.
We have never once lied on this show. all right, so let's move into the headlines. These are the stories that throughout the week have caught my eye, though perhaps not enough to read the entire article. And this first article comes in from one of our superfans, Julia! And this comes from foxnews.com. And I love this headline just because it's madness. 42,000 pounds of missing pistachios leads to possible illegal pistachio operation.
That's nuts!
Oh, God.
Wow. Yeah.
I
hope you're ready for all those jokes.
Edit point.
Yeah. You're an edit point, Lou.
When a pistachio company in California noticed that thousands of pounds of its main product had gone missing, opened an investigation. Yes, and pistachios. It appears that a truck driver may have been running an illegal pistachio operation out of the trucking yard. It was eventually discovered that a tractor trailer had been moved to a nearby unnamed lot, and there it was discovered that the pistachios were in 2,000-pound sacks. Apparently, the plan was to move the pistachios into smaller bags and resell them.
Yeah, so this is just a classic example of how not to steal stuff. Like when Gabby is engaging in her numerous government fraud operations, mm-hmm. where she's stealing tens of thousands of dollars from the government.
Why do you think I'm moving out of the country?
Yeah, she does it in small doses that, you know, it's not noticeable. But if you're stealing 42,000 pounds of nuts, somebody's going to notice. You messed up.
Also, yeah, dumb criminal alert here, because you want to steal stuff that's of value and easy to move. Like nuts, like a single nut, not very much. A single diamond, whoa. That's very mm-hmm. small, very discreet, mm-hmm. very easy to smuggle across the border. So you picked, I mean, it was a crime of opportunity. He worked there, right? So he's just going to steal what's available. But you might as well like steal the staplers at this point.
Maybe this guy, though, was just trying to make a name for himself. Like, everyone knows diamond thieves. They've got movies, and it's so romanticized.
Name one diamond thief, Nick.
Bob.
Oh, I love Bob the Diamond Thief.
Bob the Diamond Thief.
I thought he was going to go with Uncle Fred again. That old jokester.
But yeah, imagine, you know, when they're in a world filled with diamond thieves, mm-hmm. you are the pistachio king.
Right. Yeah. I bet he's just hoping that they name his crime like something like, I don't know, like the nut job.
He might get a Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor out of this.
Yeah. Mm. Gabby, have you ever considered writing for the New York Post with like these punny headlines? You're perfect for them.
Yes, please forward on my resume. I've been trying to contact them, but they said I was too punny. And yeah.
Like I said, we're moving on to bigger and better things. The New York Post. Wow, what an amazing source of media and journalism. Good work,
Gabby.
Yeah,
I mean, Gabby, with your notoriously right-leaning politics and you're always, you know, on Instagram screaming about, you know,
hates
immigrants
women.
And stuff. Perfect for the New York Post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's a match made in heaven. I just wish they'd call me back. I don't know what the problem is. Probably this being on this podcast, they're like, I don't know, we can't have that kind of exposure and risk to our name. Man. So, I don't know.
Realistically, though, back to the story. How many nuts do you think you guys can sell in a day?
Not a lot. I don't have the necessary nut moving channels. I don't have any sort of outlets to sell nuts. Probably not a lot, Nick. I don't have a lot of confidence. You know, I'm having a crisis of confidence. My life is circling the drain and now I don't know what to do.
Well, maybe nuts are for you.
Nuts to you. I'm just waiting for one of you to do like a balls joke. Am I going to have to do the first one?
No, Gabby, you're going to have to do Gabby. It. You're the one who's always thinking about dicks and balls, so go ahead and make it.
Wow.
Oh, how many nuts could I sell in a day? Depends who's nuts, I guess.
Edit point.
Hold on. Oh, the New York Post is actually calling me right now. This is interesting.
Oh, put him on speaker.
Hello, this is New York Post, 23 Skidoo. You're looking for writers here.
Hey, hire me. I'm really good. I make puns sometimes.
Hey, are you Gabby? Let's hear those puns.
Well, I'm not good on the spot, though.
What a segment this is. And, I'm going to put in another edit point. Boy. It wouldn't be headliners without one completely failed improv skit per episode.
Of course, yeah.
Anyway, nuts. One thing that surprised me about this story is a 2,000-pound bag of nuts. How big is that? That's got to be... No, Lou? He's backing. He had an
She's
idea.
She's trying to bait me into making a joke about testicles. She's trying to bait me into it. But I'm a classy broad. I don't do that. That's your thing, Gabby. And listen, you're just mad that you failed in your New York Post interview. And you know,
I know.
So
I get
out
so
on me.
Nervous. I know. But seriously, though, how big is that bag? How big is that sack?
It's a ton of nuts.
All right, let's move on to the next headline.
If we must.
This comes from the Associated Press.
Balls, NASA. Balls, balls, ass, 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 balls, balls, ass, ass, cock. Gabby, thoughts?
You said it all, man. You just, that was beautiful.
Really sounded more like a New York Post headline there, but...
I think that was a haiku.
No, but this headline reads, NASA sends squid from Hawaii into space for research.
A space squid?
Space squid.
Did they put a fishbowl on its head?
They put it in a fishbowl.
Oh.
And then put that on someone's head.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
They also made him a tiny suit, so he looks like Prince. Lots of velvet and frills.
Yep.
A lot of arms, though. Yeah.
What is the purpose of the space squid?
So, let's see here. Dozens of baby squid from Hawaii are currently in space for study. Researcher Jamie Foster said that understanding what happens to the squid in space could help solve health problems that astronauts face. As astronauts spend more and more time in space, their immune systems become what's called dysregulated. It doesn't function well, Foster said. Their immune systems don't recognize bacteria as easily, and they sometimes get sick. So the squid are going to be sort of helping them do some research on that, and they will be returning back to Earth in July. Splashing down, if you will.
So are they going to make the squid sick and then see if they can get better?
No comment. Look, Gabby, this is professional science. Sometimes sacrifices have to be made.
This is quite a study. You know, I can hardly think of any part of the animal kingdom more similar to man than the squid. Like it's basically a one-to-one comparison. You know, all
yeah.
What sort of squid ailments could I get this week? Oh,
yeah. I mean. It used to be, like, back in the day, they used to do mice and rats for clinical trials, but then they're like, you know what? Mice, rats, these mammals have nothing to do with us. Let's go deep down into the sea and get us some squids and put makeup on them.
Wait, what? We put makeup on them?
We need them to test, see if they make them look prettier.
Oh, I thought, okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think?
I don't know. I just thought that you were just living out a bizarre creative project that we hadn't heard of yet. Makeup for squids.
It's called Pretty Squids, and it's mostly ink-based, and it's really dark colors.
Great. Get the New York Post on the line. Yeah. You need to hear these. Yeah.
Gabby, just to let you know, you don't have to fire them into space to test this, so you probably can save a lot of money by not doing that anymore.
What? Are you kidding? I've been on the phone with Elon Musk for months, and I don't even have to talk to that guy. I could just put him on. Oh, God. I can't believe
it. Guys, I don't know how many times I'll explain this. If we don't shoot the squids on the catapult first, how do we know it's safe for me?
No.
Oh,
that's
right.
I think actually you're the trial run, Dick, and then they're going to do the squids.
Yeah, okay. That's okay. I think I got a little mixed up there. I think you're right. Yeah.
Only because you can talk. You know, you can say, like, I'm okay, or, uh-oh, and then we'll either fire them or not. Uh-oh.
I'm okay, uh-oh!
But you are going to be so pretty up there, Nick. When you leave Mars, you are going to be glowing.
Yeah.
Probably from the entry into the atmosphere, but...
Yeah. Pretty Squid Cosmetics. Tested in
Mars
space.
Mars is going to be like, who dat coming toward me?
Oh man. Okay. That's all I have to say about baby squids. Baby squids in space. Baby squids do.
We just keep running down the list of Anna's like, oh, that's cruelty to chickens. That's cruelty to mice. That's cruelty to monkeys. It's like just nobody's complained about us throwing squids into space and having them evaporate, so let's just move on to that.
Yeah, what I mean, has God given us a list of what has souls and what doesn't yet?
Ooh.
Still waiting in my inbox. Nothing yet.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Nick, do what do you think? Do scorpions have souls, Nick?
Yeah, I do.
What about a tuna fish?
No.
No? Okay. Scorpions?
No, that's salad.
Tuna fish.
Keep going.
Okay. How
if it's gonna be put in a salad, no soul.
Okay, so that's a salad roll. Three-toed sloth. Can that go in a salad?
Yes. No soul.
Red panda?
Yes, no soul. So, salad, yes, soul, no.
Okay, so If it has a soul, it can go in a salad. I'm just trying to follow.
No, no, no. If it can go in a salad, it doesn't have a soul.
Doesn't have a soul. Okay. Let's see. Gabby's twin sister.
Soul.
Okay. Got a soul. So not in a salad?
Not in a salad. No, okay. No Gabby's twin sister.
We don't go well with ranch. It just, yeah. It's just the bad combo.
How about a marmot?
Salad.
Space whale.
Soul.
Dingo.
Salad. Well, we've gotten salad or soul. I think we've decided it all. You're welcome, God. We figured it out here on Headliners, and we didn't even do it on the last episode. So, you know, we've got time to spare.
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell you that was the real purpose of this podcast, was to determine what had souls and what would be in a salad?
Yeah, I read your diary the first day that we did it, so I've just been waiting. I feel great about this.
The Headliners Manifesto, really. Yeah.
I thought this would come up sooner, and we talked about it a little bit at one point, but I thought it would be more of a recurring theme, but we actually ended up talking about butts a lot. So, yeah.
I view all that butt talk as kind of necessary conversation leading up to this. You might not, yeah. If you don't understand why, then you obviously weren't following the conversation.
Right, yeah. I mean, we do have to figure out one day. We have to figure out one day, though, if butts have souls. And I think that might be our next podcast.
Salad. Salad. That's salad. Butt salad.
Ew.
All right. Let's move in now to the advice section of the podcast. A little section we like to call Dear Gabby and Lou and Nick.
What do I do? What do I do? I don't know. Ask Gabby.
Boop, boop.
And Lou and Nick. So this query comes from the Ms. Manners advice column. Dear Gabby and Lou and Nick, a coworker walked into my office while I was in the middle of a task. I said, "One moment, please," while I finished typing the line I was on. She seemed taken aback by my asking for time to finish something so as not to lose my place. What does etiquette dictate one do in this instance? Drop what you are doing and immediately attend to someone who walks into your office? Or is a request for a moment appropriate?
Gabby, just give an answer. What kind of person takes, I don't know, so let's try to take an estimate here of how long it took to A, worry incessantly about this stupid fucking problem, B, write a letter about it, C, find an outlet that will listen to this letter. Like, what's going on? What's the timeline on this?
It's a problem that's been deep in the psyche of this reader for many, many years, probably pre-COVID. It must be. And now they're re-entering the workforce, coming back to the office, and they want to know, they want this problem solved. And they came to the experts, the best people to answer about how to be polite to others.
They have been fretting over the repeat of this interaction for a year and a half now. They, like, literally, this has probably happened the day COVID broke out and everything went on lockdown. And they, like, they were stalled for time. Like, person comes into office. One moment, please. Type, 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 type. Klaxons. Everyone go away. It's COVID.
Yeah.
And now they're going back into the office. And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I thought it was out of this, but we're going to pick up right where we left off. And Janice is going to be right there over my shoulder.
Yeah. They're still waiting there. That person is still waiting there. They were there the whole time.
You said a minute, okay? It's been a year and a half.
She was deemed an essential worker, and that was going into people's offices and bothering them.
That's the Lord's work. So,
yeah, that's what the Lord does instead of determining salad or soul. Yeah.
He's got to make sure people don't get too focused on stuff. This is obviously dumb. This is a dumb question.
Wow, even Gabby says this is dumb. Like, the person who actually cares about what people should and shouldn't do, you know you're dumb.
So what is the answer then, Gabby?
The answer is it's absolutely okay to say, hey, can you give me a minute and finish your thing and then redirect.
What if the person says no?
Then you say, get out of my office.
And what if they get up real close up to your face and just like, oh, were you typing? Because I'm here now. I'm in your face.
That means
I can see your pores.
They're close enough to inflict some damage, either physical or psychological. So physical.
Roll for initiative.
It's just a slap or a punch. Psychological, though, it's like licking their earlobe or like, you know, like blowing in their nose or something.
That's how we handle things in the Headliner's office. Yeah. All right, let's move on to our next segment. And that, of course, is the guy on the ground.
Welcome to Guy on the Ground.
He's on the ground.
And he's a guy.
My name is Gabby DeLuca. I'm your anchor here on Headliners at 5. And tonight we bring you a very interesting story, which will be delved into deeper by our guy on the ground, Nicholas Imbruglia. Nicholas Imbruglia is a crack journalist, just always...
Hi.
Always where we want him to be when we need him to be there. Unfortunately,
I'm a reporter.
Unfortunately, he is standing in a sewer and is not getting a signal, and so he's not getting the debrief on this story. But I'll tell it to you, listener, before we get started, and Nick's not going to be able to hear it at all. So the story tonight. A Birds Are Not Real rolling rally makes its first stop in Missouri. So this is a story about a movement led by Peter McIndo. So he thinks that all the birds in the U.S. were killed off and replaced with drones that look like birds, and that when they're hanging out on power lines, that's actually them charging themselves. And that when they poop, that's the tracking material on your car, so the government can track your car. So this is the first stop of a tour in Springfield, Missouri.
So I'm leading a tour of people who believe that birds have been replaced by drones.
That's correct. Birds aren't
okay,
real.
Okay, got it.
Also... they're making a tidy sum, I believe, on the merch. There's like stickers and t-shirts. And so there's some confusion whether it's all a big prank or it's someone, some dumb kid who thinks birds are drones. but I thought you were perfect for this story. So we're going to get...
Gabby, you thought right.
We're going to get to it. Welcome to Headliners at 5. I'm Gabby DeLuca. Tonight, a story that is for the birds. Birds Are Not Real rolling rally makes its first stop in Missouri. With more on this story, we go to our field reporter, our guy on the ground, Nicholas Imbruglia. Nick, what's it like there tonight?
Hi, I've just climbed my way out of a sewer. This is Nicholas Imbruglia, your award-winning reporter, guy on the ground, former New York Post author and journalist. I authored the New York Post, and I'm here with the big scoop. Sir and or ma'am, I might you introduce yourself, your name, occupation, and your role in tonight's undertakings?
Hi, I'm Peter McIndo, and Mr. Imbruglia, I must say that you smell remarkably nice for a man who just got out of a sewer, so great work.
I'm often told that, even when I haven't been in a sewer.
Oh, well, very nice, thank you.
Mr. McIndo?
Peter McIndo.
Peter McIndo.
As you can say, the leader of this group.
Would you describe your group as well-organized, structured, or is it more of a loose conglomeration of elements and people?
I would say it's very well-oiled, with a group of mindless drones that do my bidding and me at the top.
Yeah, wouldn't we all like to be in a scenario like that? That's how I do a podcast, and that's kind of how I feel. When I'm sort of in charge there, but I couldn't
Nick,
help
Nick,
notice
you have a little smut. I think it's poop, might be on your cheek. You just a little.
Oh, watch out! Watch out, Nick. That's how they get you.
Gabby, I told you, never.
We're
in front
rolling.
Of, never.
We're
never
rolling.
In front of the person I'm interviewing. Don't embarrass me like this, Gabby.
Sorry, Nick, but you know you got poop on your shirt.
I think that might have come from above, Nick. Watch out.
Well, I've certainly learned I need to watch my back. But, Mr. McIndo, Peter, your drones, are they of a mechanical sort? I couldn't help but notice them sort of marching around and causing mayhem and performing tedious tasks.
Sadly, I don't have the technology to make mindless drone bots have for followers. But some could say that's why we're here, because you know who does have that money and technology? The United States government, Nick.
I see. So you are a cult leader.
Oh, we don't like to use that word. I just like to say I am a religious-esque influencer of drone people.
Of drone people.
Some could say we follow a certain credo or a certain belief, and when you find out about it, you're going to be so mad, Nick.
Nick, a question from the desk. What does Mr. McKindo say to his... how did he come up with the slogan, "Wake up, pigeons"?
Mr. McKindo, how did you come up with the slogan, "Wake up, pigeons"? Please answer that while I wipe the shit off of my face.
Wake up, pigeons! See, that's usually my intro into any conversation. Because you ever notice how there's so many people walking around who don't understand what's going on, and they're faking it, Nick? They're faking it, Nick? Well, guess what? I see through it. I know what's going on here.
Peter, you have rocked me to my core. I think that you're right. These people around us, they're living ghost lives. Now, the ones who understand us, I think it's our feathery friends. And it is the ones that you can guide along. And who would be a truer follower than a pigeon?
Nick, they've gotten to you. Quick, you've got an implant in your head. Take this toothpick and yank it out of your ear. They've gotten you. You've fallen for it. It's the birds that are the problem, Nick.
I'm ready.
It's the birds that are the problem. Look what the government has done to the birds, Nick.
Oh, the birds were our enemies this whole time.
You think that they're flying around organic beings? Well, you're wrong. Wake up, pigeons!
They're spy machines. They're spies from the U.S. government spying on us while we're taking, you know, our baths and hopping out of sewers.
And you're gonna need another bath, pigeon, because a bird shit on your face and he's gonna kill everything!
They shit on you, and that's how they get what they know. They do it on purpose. I knew it.
Wow.
Was I even close?
No, you actually got it, like, exactly.
What a riveting story from Springfield, Missouri, where Peter McKindo leads a rally for birds aren't real, a conspiracy theory that believes that all birds in the United States were killed and replaced with drones to spy on us. Nick, what was most surprising to you about meeting this leader of this movement that's gained a lot of traction on social media?
The most surprising thing was that I think I actually saw him in the sewer first before I came up. We kind of locked eyes for a second there, and then we got up out of it, and then I was like, oh, this is the guy I'm interviewing. And then we just sort of recognized that, and well, you heard the rest.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you meet some guy and you see him naked in the shower or something, and then you see him after, like, well, seen that guy naked, but I'm not going to talk about it.
Eyeline above the nipple.
Yeah. Eyes up here. Okay. Eyes up here.
Yeah.
I want to remind you of our journalistic ethics of not fraternizing with the sewer people. And you're on thin ice, buddy. You're on thin ice. But that's...
Gabby, you don't know what you're missing. Come to a... try a sewer soiree once sometime and tell me I'm wrong.
A poo party? All right. Well, that's all the time we have tonight for Headliners at 5. Thank you for joining us with our guy on the ground, Nicholas Labriglia, and our subject matter expert on birds that are drones, Peter McKindo. Next up, we have Control the Narrative with Lou Sabin.
Yeah, that's right, we have Control the Narrative with Lou Sabin. For people who don't know, I control this podcast. I'm the editor-in-chief. I boss people around. I rule with an iron fist, and I help us come up with all that beautiful spin. I help us pick those stories, the beautiful and inspired opinions that you see here on Headliners. I'm the editor-in-chief. I figured it out. And to help me out, I have my two crack staff members, my two spin doctors who can take any story, any idea, spin it into a way that'll get those clicks, that'll get you to buy those newspapers, that'll get your hay pennies into the slot for your penny arcades.
Hay pennies into the slot.
Yeah, that's our next. Wake up, pigeons! Anyways.
Slot bunnies.
Butt salad.
So, and that's normally how we play a game called Control.
The narrative.
But guys, I've been too easy on them. I've been giving them easy topics. I've been making it so easy, just lobbing them softballs. So guess what? I'm going to up the temperature today. I'm going to put my spin doctors into impossible situations and see if they can spin their way out. Nick and Brilia, are you ready to control the narrative?
I came out of the womb spinning, and I've never stopped.
I got a shiver with that. Yeah, I got a shiver.
I ruined everything behind me.
Yeah, DeLuca!
That was a... Yikes. Your poor mother.
I didn't
even
have the strength to say edit point. That was so powerful. Gabby DeLuca, are you ready to control that narrative?
Lou, did you know that Billy Idol sang that song about me? You spin me right round, baby, right round. That was me, and I am ready.
Wow, two inspiring choices by my beautiful spin doctor. So we're going to move on to our first problem. Would you rather, in the Thunderdome of Spin, would you rather be the campaign manager for the presidential run of Alex Jones, or have Alex Jones be the campaign manager for your presidential run? Nick and Brilia, I'm going to you first.
Well, I have often thought about running for president. So I think we're going to have Alex Jones be my campaign manager.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's going to be a kind of a different arrangement where, there's all this talk about sort of covert ops within politics. Like, oh, it was Antifa that stormed the Capitol. Well, I'm going to have Alex Jones do that for me. He's going to attack me while also managing my own response. And that's going to play really well, I think, amongst his zero listeners at the moment.
I mean, that's pretty brilliant, Nick. You're going to use the negative powers of Alex Jones to attack you.
Turn it to a positive.
And then revolt. Everybody's going to revolt against you. Your approval levels will skyrocket. Nick,
he won't even know that he's my campaign manager.
Wow, you're gonna inception him. Nick, how do you feel like you will fare among the the electorate of the mole people?
Pretty well. Having spent a lot of times in the sewers and with shit on my face, I'm well accustomed to their customs.
Very good, Nick. Gabby, would you rather be the campaign manager for the presidential run of Alex Jones, or have Alex Jones be the campaign manager for your presidential run?
Well, I think that the real question is, which Alex Jones? Because I went to a high school with an Alex Jones, and she was fantastic. She would make an excellent, excellent president, so I would entirely support her. She is currently a mid-level manager at a Target, and you know, Target, it's really the heart of America, and so she gets people. And so yeah, I would totally support her in her presidential run, and I think I have the chops to make it as a campaign manager.
Oh, incredible answer, Gabby. Once Gabby turns it around too, Nick, I'm going to have to give you the advantage on this one, because even with Alex Jones as your campaign manager, you're still a man, whereas her Alex Jones is a woman, and it's impossible for a woman to be president. So, Nick, you win by a hair. Great job. Well done there. Story of the second!
It really helps to have 2,000 pounds of nuts to become president, I'd say.
It was a publicity stunt the whole time.
Would you rather say a random racial slur every 354th word you speak, or only be able to wear clothing that Nick has thrown away? Gabby, I'm going to go to you first.
Oh, I'm going to go with the clothes that Nick throws away. Because here's why. If you take Mein Kampf, you can turn that assortment of letters into something beautiful, right? So all you have to do is literally take apart every shred of his clothing into its component parts.
I mean, they're already in shreds. That's not even a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just refabricate the clothing into something that a human would wear.
I.e., not Nick. Nick and Brilia, we're going to go for a counterpoint to you. So we're going to have to posit that I suppose there's some sort of alternate reality, Nick, who you can only wear the clothes that he has thrown away. So just try to go for that.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say a racial slur every 354th word. Gabby, you can see me. You know the clothes I wear. These are the ones that I keep in my dresser.
those are the winners.
These are the good ones. You don't want to see the ones that I actually take the time to throw out.
It's a lot of cheesecloth, a lot of burlap.
I think it's a lot of cargo shorts. I think it's cargo shorts.
Stains of unknown origin. Yeah. So, but the, also the other side of this is, Lou, I'm really good at counting.
Ooh,
so,
okay.
I could be in the middle of sentence just, you know, like, oh, hi, nice to meet you, Mr. President. And then in my head, I'm going 351, 352, 353. And what a lovely, what day it is outside today. And, you know, I just have that sort of cerebral capability. So it's really no skin off my back.
Count to 20 right now, Nick.
1, 2, 20.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm glad you made that selection. I mean, it'd be difficult because you would have to take into, it's like, did I say can't or cannot? Like, you might get stuck and you're like, did I say those words out loud when I was saying can't or cannot? It messes up your counting.
Well, about every 15 word out of my mouth is a racial slur anyway. So it doesn't change things too much.
Gabby, what's your favorite racial slur, would you say?
No, Gabby, you can't answer that on the podcast. But if you do ask it for next episode, she will be forced to answer.
Yeah, okay, got it.
I guess you'll wait and see.
Listeners, write that down. That is a possible question you could ask her. Story the third. This is where I make it really hard, guys. Okay?
Oh, no.
Really hard. Would you rather only be able to achieve orgasm when one of Hitler's speeches to the Reichstag is playing loudly
the
in the background?
I didn't even...
Or
oh, man.
Have to mix in the story of how you gave a hand job to Mitch McConnell in college into every conversation. Nick and Brilliant, would you rather only be able to achieve orgasm when one of Hitler's speeches to the Reichstag is playing loudly in the background, or always have to mix in the story of how you gave a handjob to Mitch McConnell in college in every conversation?
Well, Gabby's already talked about Mein Kampf, so I guess I'll take the Mitch McConnell one. She obviously... yeah, you know what? You know what? I'm going to pull Gabby's strategy. It was a different Mitch McConnell. But yeah, man, I gave him such a good HJ. Yes, he was a septuagenarian as well. And had,
well, Nick,
had
Nick
skin...
let's flesh it out a little bit. Like, what class did you just come out of?
Flesh it out is actually a very good term here, because that's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
That was basically the action that was going. There was a lot of flesh.
So yeah, you know, every time you go home and meet your family at Christmas, you got to talk about it. You know, if your child is getting confirmed in a Catholic church, you got to bring it up. You know, does that sound easy to you, Nick?
You know, I say a slur every other word, so my conversation is going to be a mishmash of racial slurs and hand job talk at this point. So it's going to be mostly unintelligible, which I think actually works in my favor.
You know what's tricky about that is that if you're talking to liberals, they're going to hate the part about Mitch McConnell, but then if you talk to conservatives, they're going to hate the part about like gay sex. And so I mean, you're really losing both sides of the spectrum there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's ultimately where this is going. Not a lot of people talk to me, so there really isn't. Both of these things are kind of moot points. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys had any idea how much time it took in editing to edit out all of Nick's racial slurs out of this podcast, I mean, we're talking thousands of hours at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, it's, that's why I was Ginger, forced to do all of this myself. No one else wanted to do the editing for all of the Italians that was going on here.
Gabby DeLuca, what do you think? Can you come to the Reichstag speeches or jerk off Mitch McConnell?
Well, I fall asleep to murder mystery stories, so I feel like it's in the same realm and it's in a different language. So it's not going into your brain in the same way as if it were in English. So I feel like that would not be impossible. You just kind of put it on low, put other music on.
No, it's got to be playing loudly in the background, Gabby. It's
loudly,
gotta be playing loudly.
Loudly in the background. Okay, that can be playing loudly in the background, but something else can be playing loudly in the background. So I'm going to find this loophole, and that's going to be my choice. Because again, like, the practicality of talking about Mitch McConnell, like, multiple times a day,
let's do some role-playing here. Let's do some
role-playing. No, let's not.
Let's do some role-playing. It's you and Hot Chocolate's first
I'm going to agree. Let's not. Let's
you're,
not
you're,
do that.
You're ready to go, and he says, hey, what's with the very loud Hitler speech in the background while this is happening? Why are you how do you explain that, Gabby?
Look, Lou, I just want to tell you something about men and women, and the fact is men will do almost anything to have sex, and I don't think a little thing like, German yelling is going to stand in their way.
Excellent answer, Gabby. What a game today we had. We really got to the bottom. I put them to the test, and they passed it. Great work, except for the time where Gabby thought that a woman could be president. Well done, guys. Nick and Brilia. Any final thoughts on Control the Narrative?
Looking forward to all the editing that I'm going to have to do. Red face to all this episode.
That was a racial slur for me, actually. He didn't even edit that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gabby DeLuca, any final thoughts?
Alexa Jones for 2024.
Yay!
Yay!
And that's how we play a game called Control
the Narrative.
All right, folks, so that about does it for us today. For the penultimate time, I would like to thank you for listening in. We sincerely hope you had a good time. We hope you feel more informed. We hope you had a good laugh, especially in that last segment, which mostly was at Gabby and Maya's expense. So good work, Lou.
Thank you.
please feel free to give us a rating and share us with your friends.
More episode.
Even as this sunsets.
Wait, Nick, do you really want them to share that last segment with their friends? Do you want people to hear
No,
that?
Not really. I think everyone's had enough of Mitch McConnell. But yeah, feel free to write in for next week and give us your questions, favorite moments, anything you want to share with us.
Love
and
letters.
We'll be happy to share it. Yeah.
Attestations of fealty.
So yeah, as our kingdom fractures into three parts, the Gabby Dominion, the Lou Conglomerate, and the Nick Nation, we want all of you to swear fealty to one of us.
Bend the knee to Gabby.
So feel free to ignore all the news for the next week, because we'll give you the rundown next time, for the last time, on Headliners.
Wake up, pigeons!